This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, January 28th, 2020, episode 263. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. My name is Nick Craig, your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. You can check out my gab at Nick. And now, you know, a lot of people have been saying to me, Nick, you should do a blog about information technology because you are the expert in all of these things. Well, I've done that. And you can find that at dudeinit.com. A man who also has a blog about technology. People are saying this, Brian. I'm not saying it. People are saying to me, you've really overstepped Brian with your blog. People are saying this to me. I'm not going to give any names out, but people are saying, hey, you know, your blog is pretty good. It kind of puts Brian's to shame. Do you have any comments?
That's fine. I'll make a blog post in the next 3 months, and then I'll overstep you again.
I mean, that's fine. Now, you know, you may have, like, useful tools, like ARC server commands. I've got posts titled, like, thanks for the memories, Windows 7, and using a USB MIDI controller for two programs at once. So
yes, things you need every day.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. These are very important things. Unlike, you know, how to install Let's Encrypt on Plesk. You know, those are people need those every day for sure.
Hi, hey, Brian. Some people. Hello. How are you? Well, if you do want to find me, you can find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or of course, as Nick loves my blog, you can go ahead and check that out, biteoftech.com.
I mean, look at this. Hold on. That's us. Hold on. Look at this. It's been almost a year since you published an article.
I've been busy.
Okay. All right. Fine. There's a lot of good stuff on here.
Yeah. Try to put useful things.
What's back like on page 4? Oh, 2014 to page 4 brings back to 2014?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
I didn't plot. Wow. I didn't. You remember the big
2013, 2012 on page 4. That's how little content is in over 8 years. It's just four clicks.
But that Steam article was groundbreaking.
The power of Steam? What was this article about?
Remember that was when they wouldn't give me the $2.49 Terraria? And I almost stopped using Steam altogether?
Now you have your entire 401k invested in Steam.
Yes. I did. I told them. I said, I said, look at my account. I told the support person,
do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? I have more games than almost anybody on your platform.
I have more games than you have in your database.
That's right. And so I pretty much flexed a little bit, and then they gave me the game for free. So $2.49 worth.
So what's the moral of the story? Bitch and complain and whine until you get your way? Is that the moral of the story?
You say, all I wanted was my discount. I didn't want it for free. I said, I want Terraria at $2.49 like you promised me, because they were having an error in their system and wouldn't let it process. They said, we can't give it to you for $2.49. I said, yes, you can. You can give it to
this
and they
is
said,
by
no.
Far, this is arguably one of the worst deals I've ever heard. Okay.
Pretty much. And so and they said, we can't give it to you for a discount, but we can give it to you for free.
That's called making a deal. You won't pay for it. We'll give it to you. That's the art of the deal, baby.
I just want to have the discount. No, we can't do that. We can only give it to you for free. I'm like, oh.
That okay. is the quintessential best deal of all time.
Yeah. So I got Terraria for free after writing an article and contacting support a bunch of times. It was more of just I was mad.
Principle.
Yeah, it was on the principle. It was over $2.49. That was not the concern. It was the fact that they were willing to like be that way to their customer over $2.49 when I have thousands of dollars.
Well,
invested in that.
And it's so funny because you experienced a lot of this, Brian, in your previous life in the IT world. Support, it's so funny because the first line of support, like the people at the bottom, most of the time don't have any decision-making power to do anything. So they tell you, no, we can't.
Yeah.
Then the person above them goes, shut up, you moron. Just give them the damn game for free. Like, why are we making a big deal out of this? It's just funny to see that hierarchy in support.
Yeah, so they had all their automatic answers, and I just said, I'm not taking your automatic answer. Like, don't blow me off. I have this much money in your system. like, I want this at the price that it was supposed to go through at. And it was just, it was a big ordeal. I write about it in the article, if you're interested in it, bytedevtech.com, page 4. And you can go check it out. So, anyways, yeah, if you want to go check out our website, go to infectionpodcast.com. You notice on the right-hand side there, it says join our server on Discord. If you go there, you can submit news throughout the week. We have a news channel, and we always look at those things before we go ahead and put together the show notes for the episode. If you want to go and get notifications before the live show starts, just join the Steam group there. That will just do one notification, hopefully. They're kind of buggy. Sometimes it pops up two at the same time. Thank you, Steam. Also, you can go and follow us on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube if you want to watch video formats of the show. Maybe you can watch it live there as well. We do broadcast to all three of those. If you want to get the audio-only forms, maybe you're at work or driving, check out on the lower right-hand side, whatever platform you're on, we have something for you there. Also, we have show notes for now 263 episodes of the podcast. So click whatever episode you're happen to be listening to at the time. You can check out all of the various links, videos, things that we refer to throughout the episode. It's all there and ready for you. And if you want to support us financially, just remember amazon.infectionpodcast.com, or you can go to humble.infectionpodcast.com for Humble Bundle, or you can do, like you've heard, well, the pre-show, we had subs going off and things like that. So you can subscribe with Twitch Prime.
Yes, and I do want to thank a couple of people before we get into the program here this evening, Brian. I want to thank our friend Green Man Cartoons hitting us up for the two-year subscription, 24 months. Our friend Judd, who hit us up with the resubscription, and then gifted out two subs to our buddy Pike and the real Stay Lifted for the subs there. So thank you to Judd, thank you to Green Man, and everybody else that hit us up with. I know we had a lot of subs last week because of our 5-year episode, so we appreciate that as well. Let's see, Brian, did we do a game of the week? I think I played some Call of Duty.
I wasn't around during the game of the week time.
Yeah, so I think ended up playing some COD, and that worked out pretty well. But I got to give credit to a good friend of ours, Brian, our good friend, yes, Unicorn Joe, who hit me up. It was either Saturday or Sunday and said, "Hey, does anybody want to play ROE?" I said, "You know what? Yes, actually, I'll play some ROE. I'm not, you know, we haven't played it in a while. I'm not opposed to playing games like ROE. Let's play some ROE." Let me tell you, it wasn't a bad experience. Yeah. It was just a very boring experience. Now, I'm not the expert in Battle Royales. I don't think I pretend to be. I don't think I pretend to be the biggest fan of Battle Royales in the world, because I'm not. And yeah, ROE, to me, was just a... It's just a lame Battle Royale. It wasn't broken. It wasn't buggy. It wasn't unplayable. It was just boring. And by the way, duos are disabled across the world, so you can only play solos or four-man, which sucks, because we were playing with two guys that didn't speak English, and it was like, what the hell are we supposed to do with this? They were speaking Chinese, which I don't have a problem with people speaking Chinese, but I can't communicate with my two team members when we speak two of the most polar opposite languages, so that doesn't work. Yeah. And by the way, I was playing on U.S. servers, NA, North American servers, so I wasn't playing on Chinese servers and talking to people in China. I was playing on regular NA servers, so couldn't play with just one other person. I guess I could have, but then we would have been 2v4 and would have totally screwed. It was just a crappy experience. I wish I had something. I know that they've been
trying to deal with it. I mean, they've been changing. They've been adding like these vehicle modifications and various things. I think they're just trying to get that hook of what makes it more fun than the other battle royales that are out on the market, because it is very consistent. I mean, that's one thing, is it works.
So they did have this feature, which was very weird. There was a submarine that you could go into. I don't know if we talked about this on the show. They added a submarine. Yeah,
they did that like a couple patches. Well, like so two major patches ago.
So you jump in the submarine and there's this huge octopus Now, here's the problem with the submarine. You don't pilot it. And it just takes you a very small... It just takes you from, like, port A to port B, underwater, no gunfire.
Kind of like a helicopter in a way.
What's the game? Zero Survival? Very much like a Zero Survival helicopter, where you get in it, and then you're just... You're at the other location. There's no threat of dying. There's no threat of anything happening.
Does that octopus attack you?
No.
Or is it just for visual?
It's just visual. Very pretty, by the way. Very, very pretty. Sharks and a whole bunch of cool animals swimming around underwater. Very pretty, very neat, but totally useless to the game. Added absolutely nothing to my experience.
Yeah.
So, cool feature. Looked neat. Worked. But was like, what the... And you went a very small, like... You literally, so you have this big, like, thing. It took, like, probably 90 seconds. And you ended up just being, like, across the river.
It'd be cool if it were more of, it'd be cool if it was more of a, like, this takes you to another quarter of the map.
It did not. It took me a very short area. All I did was jump back on my glider, and I was right back to where we started. It was very, it worked well. That was great. I just, the game is just kind of milquetoast. And I don't have really any other way to describe it. It's not a bad game. It's just a very, to me, it is just a very bland battle royale, which is just not exciting. There's too many games.
Yeah. And you think that possibly it's because we've had a number of BRs come out. I mean, Apex and things that are doing it well also to where we're getting a little more picky. Because I mean, remember what battle royale used to be for us? H1Z1
and PUBG.
And PUBG. I mean, compared to those, I think they're better.
They are.
But I think that I think much better ones have come out that have made it to where there's a lot of competition in the marketplace.
I just think of a game like Fortnite. And while it's not everybody's cup of tea, I find the game to be rather exciting. Not in a way where I like am infatuated with the game, but I just find the game to genuinely be exciting. When you're in the game, you get in the zone. I find that to be with Fortnite. I did not find that in ROE at all. I did not feel that I was ever really in the zone. I felt as if I was just kind of playing. I was mindlessly running around, grabbing loot. I really didn't, and obviously, I'm not an expert, and I played like 4 games. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But it was just, it just wasn't exciting. I feel the same kind of way with PUBG. I don't get immersed in PUBG. And a game like Fortnite,
and like Judd is saying, he feels the same with Apex.
See, I think you have to kind of get it with Apex. I feel that Apex is very exciting. I think Fortnite and Apex are exciting BRs. I don't find anything else.
I think a lot of it comes down to you mastering the mechanics of one of them. Because like my nephew Kobe, he plays a lot of Apex.
Okay,
that's pretty much one of the only BR type of things he plays. He plays it on PS4, and he has a lot of fun with that. Now, I think if you went through to where you knew all the characters, you knew all the different little aspects of it, you'd be like, oh, this is a lot of fun. I think that'd be the same thing with ROE. If you went through and mastered the weapons and all the little mechanics, you'd be like, oh, this is a fun game because you're beating people, right? I think that's a lot of what it comes down to. When you go in there and it's just like, all right, you know, I'm getting some kills. I'm dying a lot. Nothing's really standing out to you. I think that any of them can be fun, but you know, people aren't, because there's so many out there, it's not like there's not one or two to pick from. People aren't mastering that one game unless they just, that's the only one they have.
I've said this ad nauseum, and I'll say it again because it's my show. games like Fortnite and Apex, I feel like somebody, me, the most plebeian of plebs when it comes to battle royales, can go into a game and at least attempt to be competitive. And have some luck in PUBG, in ROE, and any of these other more hardcore battle royales, useless. Completely and utterly freaking useless. I am dead before you can snap your fingers. It is a lost cause. I gain nothing. I accomplish nothing. I run around. I grab loot. I get my ass kicked. That's what my experience is like. Now, I get my ass kicked in Apex and Fortnite as well. But at least I feel like, hey, I can every once in a while clean up a squad. It's not going to happen often. It may happen once a night, but at least I can. I don't feel like that happens in these other games.
Yeah.
And that's part of the immersive part. It's just boring because it doesn't matter what gun I get. Oh, wow, I got a really cool gun. I'm still going to get my ass handed to me, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah. And I think, but one thing I think Apex has done well is they have made it to where the first shot or second shot doesn't kill you generally.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what Fortnite does as well. It takes a decent number of shots to kill somebody so that you have the time to react. And if you are quick on your feet, you know, building, do whatever it is, you have then the ability to kind of recover from that. Where there's other games. I mean, how many times in H1Z1 did we get single shotted? I mean, it happened all the time. And I think that that's the difference, especially when cheaters abound. We learn that there's no combating cheaters when they can single shot kill you every single time. And you just die. And it's like, okay, I'm done with this. But I think these other ones, because they've made it more difficult, even if someone is cheating, they're generally not killing you right away. And so you can kind of overcome that and possibly kill the cheater, even though they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. So I don't know. I think that this is one of those things that are going to kind of separate BRs, and eventually the ones that don't adapt and don't improve and don't change, they'll fade away. I mean, ROE, I think, probably has a really big China player base, but I don't know how big they're. I'm always curious how big is their United States player base. It's not aimed at, that game is not aimed at the United States for sure.
Agreed.
I think
totally.
They just also released it in the United States.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that. So,
But I think also PUBG's turned the same way. I don't think PUBG's aimed at the United States anymore. H1Z1 quit being aimed at the United States. I think that Apex and I think that Fortnite are aimed at more than just Asian players. I think all those other ones are aimed at Asian players, and I think that those other ones aren't. So I think maybe they adapt the way the game works a little bit so that we get less frustrated with it.
Well, I mean, isn't that what you want, right? I mean, if your player
base
is
saying,
a bunch of
I think
people
that,
in the United
I think,
States.
But I think that the Asian player base like those one-shot kills, and but I think United States players get frustrated with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've said this 1,000 times. Who wants to lose?
Yeah.
I mean, do you like getting your ass kicked, Brian? Because I don't.
No. But the thing is if you felt like you went down with a fight, it's not as frustrating. They give you that sense of, all right, that was close. Like, I almost got them too. Where with all these other games, it's like, bam, I didn't even see the person. Were they invisible range yet? Or was it something where they arced a bullet, you know, over a mountain range and it happened to hit me? Like, what's going on? And that's the kind of stuff we'd run into in H1Z1, where it's like, all right, there's a guy who's not even in my visible range, but somehow he killed me. That's great.
Yeah. So I experienced a little bit of that with ROE. But as I tell everybody, you know, the games are free. So try them. Doesn't cost any money. Try them. Play it every once in a while. I appreciate Joe kind of kicking me in the rear a little bit and saying, hey, let's play this game. Let's give it a shot. So we did that. Again, very polished game. Very good game in terms of mechanics and style and usability. Worked great. Just not my cup of tea. And I did not find at the end of the night, not at the end of the night, we played like 3 or 4 games. I was just like, this is a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about playing ROE, but that's the thing is there was nothing. It was consistent. The one thing I did like about originally I liked about it was they had the bike and the snowboard and some various ways to get around that other games didn't have at the time. But I think a lot of these games have kind of changed that and created more mobility in their games to where that's not such a unique feature and not something so new anymore.
So on that note, we doing a game of the week this week?
I think I can. I think I'll be around.
So what are we playing?
You don't have any kind of a preference?
No, nothing that's jumping off of me.
All right. Well, I mean, I would be fine. Man, I really want to play Atlas, but I just wish just to test it because they've done so much, but we still can't do private servers.
Yes.
I would be fine with either doing 7 Days to Die or
it's quite a claim.
Or some Rust.
Ooh, Rust would be fun. We haven't played Rust in a while.
Yeah,
we could play some Rust. I'll be down for some Rust.
You want to do some Rust?
Yeah, let's do some Rust. All right,
you're
here first. playing some Rustaroni.
Game of the week, Rust. Got it.
Okay. Be there. Be there. Be square. 8 p.m. ish Friday night. Hopefully you'll join us. For the live audience, I will say Twitch appears to be having some issues. So if you're noticing the video's buffering or looking weird, Twitch is looking a little odd tonight. So try refreshing
the watch. I was watching it and I'm watching how something that happened a long time ago is now playing on there. Like, wow.
Yes. Now you can check out one of the other CDNs that we're on, like Mixer or YouTube. Those appear to be working fine. If you're having an issue on Twitch, check one of the other ones out. That's why we stream on multiple places. So, interesting point though, before we get it. Nisco says January was so bleak on games. Yeah, quarter one is not typically a good quarter for wanting to either do business or sell things. Consumers typically don't spend a lot of money in Q1 because they just spent all their cash on Christmas.
And tax season is coming up.
Tax season is coming up, yep. So Q1 is not always the best time to release a game or games, a product, whatever it may be. And that appears to be evident, Brian, with the gaming revolution, the platform that was so good that they refused to talk to anybody that was not a high dollar shill media outlet at PAX East, Stadia, because they wouldn't talk with us because we're just a little old podcast. And who gives a shit about us? Because we're not Kotaku or IGN, one of these blogs that gets they pay for all these clicks. So that's not good.
Yeah.
So here it is.
Now they did. Yes.
After the last 40 days, there has not been a single new game announcement on the platform. The service has only been out 70 days. So 40 of the 70 days that the game has been out, the service has been out, there has not been a new game. Not been a new game in over a month. Now I get it. Christmas time. But Christmas is over. I mean, it's freaking February. What? Saturday is the first, I think. It's February. So you can't say, oh, it's Christmas. No, that doesn't pass for an excuse anymore. What is going on with Stadia?
So they did announce after this, a little bit after this post was made, they did announce some new games in February.
Well, great.
Two games in February.
Can I guess? Are they new?
Okay,
are they new games?
Newer.
Or are they newer? Is The Witcher on there because of the how popular that is now? No?
Nope.
Okay, I don't know. I would have guessed The Witcher.
So the first one is Guilt, G-Y-L-T. It's like a cartoonish game.
Never heard of it.
I've just seen kind of posted on some of these things. And then Metro Exodus.
Okay. Metro kind of makes sense.
So those are the two. So currently what they have five titles. They have the Destiny 2, Farming Simulator 19, Samurai Showdown, Thumper, and Tomb Raider. Right? And then they're adding two more. So that's not very good for having a platform where people are supposed to purchase games. Like you think you'd want to fill it up, but these developers have to develop and release the game, you know, kind of make it work for Stadia. They have to release it on the Stadia platform. It's not an easy, simple process to do. So
yes, that is absolutely the case. But the bigger issue here, Brian, is how can you release a new service? So it's like releasing a new phone, right? Let's say, it doesn't really happen anymore, but back in the, and this did happen with companies back in the mid 2000s, you know, after 2010, when the iPhone started coming out, HP would be like, oh, here's the Palm Pre was HP's phone. There were no apps. So you have a phone, you're muted.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I bumped a button. One thing that I think killed the Windows phone, too. I mean,
no
look
apps.
At the Windows phone.
The Lumia. No apps. No Instagram. Yeah. No Snapchat. No apps. No Twitter client. Facebook was the only app. So how can you release a new platform? You invest tens of thousands, if not hundreds of not millions of dollars in a whole new infrastructure. It's essentially a new console, right? You have the Xbox, the PlayStation, the PC, the Nintendo Switch, and Stadia. It's a whole separate
whole new platform that will not. Yeah, unless they're going to struggle to get. one thing you could do is have these apps on a console, right? They're wanting you to use the Chrome, which a lot of this will come down to is the controller. Like, can you use a decent controller with it? How often are you going to be putting out games? Google has a horrible reputation of closing things down early and not keeping them around. I don't see, if they keep this up for another 6 months, I just don't see it working well. I don't see people gravitating to it whatsoever, because you're just like, okay, this isn't going to stick around. I'm going to go somewhere else. Why would you buy a game on a, you know, it's like buying a car that you're never going to be able to get parts for.
That's kind of what it is. But the thing that I can't wrap my head around is how you invest all of the money in the infrastructure of the platform, right? Because that's what they did. You don't just start Stadia. You have to build the server architecture. You have to build the platform to build the games on top of. You have to build the relationships with the developers. You have to market it. Yep. You have to do all this stuff. And after what? Red Dead Redemption 2 is the service, the only game that anybody cares about on the service. Destiny 2, a free-to-play game.
They can get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to, I just don't see it going anywhere. There was some other, I'm trying to remember what it was. There was another Google service that they shut down here recently. It's just
Google Plus.
It's a regular basis. Huh? Fairly recently. Like, it's some business thing, but it was something I saw a notice go by and say, oh yeah, we're shutting this down. I was like, huh, another thing. They do it on a regular basis.
I don't think that Stadia is shutting down tomorrow, but I don't know how anybody in their right mind would say, I've got $60 burning a hole in my pocket, let me go spend it on Stadia.
Yeah.
This just doesn't seem like a smart idea, because there's no games. So they've announced two new games for February. So let's say those are the only games that come out in February. So after a 60-day period of time, there will be two new games. One, Metro, which is a relatively well-known game, a AA game, and then some other game that nobody's ever heard about.
Yep.
And over 60-day period on a brand new service. This is not like the service has been out 10 years. And they're moonlighting it. It's brand new. It's been out 70 days.
Well, look at what Epic's done. I mean, if you look at Epic and their store, they consistently brought out new titles. And then they also been giving away games to get people on the platform.
Which they're continuing this year.
What has Stadia done? I mean, to bring people in.
Lied, misled, and overpromised.
The thing is, there's nothing tying you to that platform. You're either bringing yourself into the platform. They're doing nothing to hook people and bring them in. So, I was going to mention, so the Google Cloud Print, they're shutting down this year. Google Hangouts, they're shutting down this year. There's a bunch of little things like that I know are shutting down. AngularJS, which is a programmer thing. But like, they just shut stuff down, which I understand they start up a lot of things and they don't want to continue them going. But I think this is just going to be another one of those. It'll be on this list. If you go to killedbygoogle.com, I think that's the website we showed a while ago.
Yeah. Green Man Cartoon says, bad idea releasing at the end of a console generation. People are holding onto games for new consoles. That's also another issue. Not a great time to release a service like this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the one benefit is, they could say, hey, we're allowing them to create the graphics and things that they couldn't do. But everything we've seen has been worse graphics. So I don't know what the pull would be to go to this. I haven't seen anything that's that advanced. Because, you know, like the PlayStation Pro, they'll enhance some things versus the standard PlayStation. But what are they enhancing here? The capabilities are there to enhance things. But what are they enhancing here? Because it's on some separate server and streaming, that it wouldn't be on a local system. I haven't seen that yet. I mean, that would be the thing that would be cool to me and bring me over.
So here's the other thing too. I'm reading through the comments of it now. People are really pissed because I forgot about this. People are paying like $15 a month for Pro. Yeah. And they haven't released a single new game.
Yep.
So people are like, you need to give us free, you need to extend our subscription by like 3 months. You guys aren't releasing any new games on your service.
Or even if they did some sort of like a trial of games or, you know, well, something. Cause it's a streaming service. Well,
they
did that.
They were giving people 3 or 6 month trials.
I'm talking of the games themselves, but the thing is, you have to purchase the games.
You have to purchase the games.
They need to have some sort of a system where you can try out a game.
Yeah.
And play it for a certain amount of time.
The typical, oversold and under-delivered thing. This, unlike a lot of other things, Brian, indie games are notorious for this, right? The internet blows it out of proportion and hypes it to failure. Google hyped this to failure. That freaking booth that they had at PAX West was massive. Massive. And there was nothing in it.
It was just a dead room.
It was a big old white open area. They built a living room upside down on the ceiling showing that they're turning gaming upside down. So it's not like this is some half-assed Google product. They went balls to the wall with this. Yeah. And for some reason, they have pulled the emergency brake because there's no, what's new? What's coming new? What's the next AAA title that's going to be? They just delayed Cyberpunk again. That was supposed to be on Stadia. When's that coming out now? That's not coming out for another 6 months.
Yeah, and they're probably kind of counting on a big title like that. Now, what would be cool? Imagine if they released Cyberpunk and then had some enhanced thing that you can do in it because it's all on this infrastructure.
Oh, don't say that. The PC, the internet will come to your house and murder you. You can't have exclusives based. Yeah, no, agreed. That's how you do it. I agree completely.
But, I mean, do you think that we're counting on Cyberpunk releasing? It's like, oh, now it's like, what do we do?
Whenever it's supposed to come out?
I mean, do you think that they were kind of biding their time until that happens, and then now it's like, oh, now there's even longer. They've got to start actually releasing features and not counting on something coming.
Well, I think that's part of it. I mean, you can kind of tamp expectations when you say, here, you know, the new hot new, when was Cyberpunk supposed to come out? March or April, something like that. It was early this year. You can kind of tamp down expectations, say, hey guys, it's coming. But now that it's delayed another 6 months, that's just not going to be
well soon. it was going to come in April
mm-hmm. and they delayed it six more months
and
on
now
top
it's September
that. Yeah, so you could get away with saying in April Cyberpunk's coming, and the best experience for Cyberpunk is going to be on Google Stadia in April. You could say that, but now you can't. So what the hell are you going to do now? Release Rayman Origins, a console game from freaking 2014? That's going to be your hot new title? Crash Bandicoot, maybe, from the PlayStation 2? I mean, you have a brand new game. That would be like an Xbox or PlayStation releasing their new consoles, and they're being
with nothing
no
on
games.
It.
No games. Yep. Hey, we got one IP. Great. Buy. Spend $500 on our console. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
But I don't.
Epic is doing this too.
Google
doesn't. Epic had the same problem.
Release things quickly.
But the difference with Epic is Epic was free. The Epic launcher is free. There's no cost. People are paying for Stadia, and there's no damn games.
Well, that's the thing.
There's like 14 games on the entire service, and one of them is a game that everybody's already played, Red Dead Redemption. Everybody and their mother's already played the game.
Subscription service, that's kind of inclined. It's indicating that there's going to be some sort of guaranteed things. You know, I think when you have a free service, if stuff doesn't come as intended, you know, okay, that's understandable. But if you're paying a monthly service, you're expecting that, okay, new content's going to be provided because I'm paying you not just for the games themselves, I'm paying you for the ability to play this game and any other games that come up. So I don't know. I think this is Google. Google's not used to fast doing things quickly. And I think this is different for them. They kind of release things on their own time, and gamers aren't patient. We're not patient when it comes to things. And I think they're kind of not used to, but like, okay, well, we have to market this and we have to put it out at certain times. We have to do all these things. That's not how Google operates. They just don't do that.
Falcon says, do you remember when you could play games through your satellite set-top box? Do you remember anything about that, Brian?
No, but I never had satellite, so.
Interesting. That's what he feels like Stadia is. Okay, now I will say this. You remember, like, so you've probably experienced this. You go to like a hotel, like in the mid 2000s.
Oh, they, yeah.
A couple games on the TV.
They had games that you could play.
Yeah, like Ice Breaker and Man Move Across Street or whatever stupid games. I mean, that's kind of, yeah. That's a very accurate description there, Falcon. And it's just, it's very unfortunate because Google hyped the living hell out of this and they have dropped the ball. And now it is possible that the third parties that they were working with just dropped the ball. Well, yeah. I mean, Cyberpunk, for example.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff that's delayed.
How much of the six-month Cyberpunk delay is because of Stadia? There's a hot take for you.
Yeah, I mean, if they're really counting on it, then who knows? Possible, right? If I were Cyberpunk, I wouldn't be putting all my money in the Stadia basket, personally.
No, not at all.
So, but if it is, I mean, if they're counting on all these enhanced features are going to be in Stadia and it's going to be some crazy thing that really, like a co-marketing type of thing, possibly. I mean, it would be possible that for them, they're like, okay, well, we got to put in all these enhanced features. It's taking longer than we expected. There you go.
Head Neophyte says, Man Move Across Street 3 really elevated the franchise. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the quality of games that were on there. So there you go. So there's Stadia. That was posted in our Discord. So we appreciate that. And there also was another article that I don't think got into the show notes. It was kind of a hit piece from Dual Shockers, which is a gaming blog. And the title here, Brian, was this in the notes? Hopefully I didn't scroll over.
I don't think so.
It was the title is Epic Game Store Launch Hurt PC Spending.
Oh, yeah,
according to NPD, which is a group that does this. And, of course, it's a shock headline. Now, anybody that knows anything about causation and how that works, you can't make a definitive statement like this because you don't... That's not how causation works. You can't say, because it rains, I make more money. There's too many. That's not how causation works, and that's the same thing with this. Epic Game Store launch hurts PC spending. What if there were no? What if the games in 2019 sucked?
I think that's part of the
problem with a headline like this. It's bullshit because there's too many other variables.
Well, I think they're trying to make the claim that because of the exclusives, people just didn't buy.
Yeah, but you can't make that claim. You don't know that, and nobody has that information. The other problem is a lot more free-to-play games, Brian. People are spending their money or not spending their money on games that are free, like Apex Legends. I know people that have hundreds, if not thousands of hours in Apex Legends that have not dropped a cent, not one penny on the game.
Yep.
Not a penny. Same thing with Fortnite and all the rest of them. They haven't dropped a penny. So I'm sure that absolutely is part of the factor. Now, I don't know why Epic Game Store would cause PC spending to hurt. That doesn't make any sense. All the games are still on Steam. There's very few games that are only on the Epic Game Store. So you can go through and read the article.
Most of those time limitations have already passed. As you said, all those games are back available for purchase on whatever platform you want.
Yeah, and it's just, I just found this article to be just a total hit piece against Epic. And believe me, I'm not the shill for the Epic Game Store, but to make such a blanket claim that PC spending is down because of Epic when there are literally thousands of other factors, like not good games, like a lot of free to play games, is just complete and utter bullshit.
And there's people like me who normally would buy a bunch of PC games, and I've been buying them on console lately. Maybe the Epic Game Store caused that.
No, stop. Well, it was the Epic Game Store that caused that, you son of a bitch. Yeah. Don't say anything else. Feed into my study. Go post it on Twitter.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's where possibly the games that came out were the types of games that people should rather play on console. That's what it's been for me.
How about you as the consumer bought a game somewhere else because you wanted to? Yeah. Why is that so hard to understand? Why does everything have to be somebody's fault?
Yeah.
It's just stupid. It's just so stupid. And it's just anybody that knows anything about even the simplest cause and effect. I mean, like a college, you know, macroeconomics 101 will teach you that the statement made by that guy is ridiculous. No. You cannot make a statement like that. There are too many other factors. It's just stupid.
Yeah, but they like to take the loose. Oh, here, look, I'm going to put this graph next to this graph. Therefore, this one meet. And look at, they kind of in a similar way dip at the same time. Therefore, they're the cause.
Now, I've got a hot take for an article. And Brian, I'm going to give you an exclusive. I expect an article on biteattack.com. Are you ready for this?
Okay, let's hear it.
PC game sales down due to massive giveaways on Infection Podcast.
That's true. That's possible.
The more games we give away, the less people spend.
Less now, people buy. It's true.
You could put that on a chart, and it would technically be accurate. But it's not, because there's so many other factors. And that's essentially what that article is.
Yeah.
Our friend Nax, who is joining us here for the first time in a while, says PC spending is probably down due to free-to-play titles taking off and mobile games ramping up, which I didn't even think about. Also, in general, the total PC game genre is a growing stale and lacking new ideas, new games, new graphics, whatever it may be. I think you could look at the Battle Royale craze and say that's very stale. There's no innovation going on in there. I didn't even think about mobile gaming. I think that played a huge factor in it, too.
I think also the reasoning to go and purchase on a PC is kind of going away now, too. It used to be, okay, the graphics are better, and you'd list off all these things that were better on a PC. I think they're kind of developing games to be identical on all platforms now. And for me, I can run my console on pretty similar graphics to what I'm running my PC at. I just think that there's less of that pull to have to be on a PC, because they've done cross console, allowing you to play between various consoles and PC players. Like there's less tying you down to one thing. Oh, you have to play this game on PC. There's very few things that are like that anymore. You can play them on whatever platform you want to, for the most part, unless it's an exclusive title.
Agreed. Totally. So that's Stadia. That's this article. There'll be a link in the show notes if you're interested in nonsense. You can go ahead
and check it out
and read that. Now, there's a little bit of controversy, Brian, about a game called Identity. Now, you'll have to spark my memory here.
Okay. So do you remember?
Talked about this game? Okay.
Yes. Do you remember the game that released and all they had was a town square? It was supposed to be a game where it was pretty much realistic to life. Like you would do some job.
Like Second Life. Like a new version.
Yeah, exactly. And when they released their first thing, first of all, I think they were pulled off of some sort of crowdfunding, because they said they could not release the game. They couldn't finish the game with what they're asking on Kickstarter. Remember that?
About $160,000 was what they were looking for.
Yeah. And so that's why they released that Town Square thing, because that technically allowed them to say that they were releasing something with the money received. So they released that kind of junky little square,
which you can do nothing in. Very broken. Which you could fall through the elevator shafts, like just a disaster.
Yeah, it was horrible. And so that they kind of talk about, they have a dev blog where they go through and discuss some of these things. But that's where they kind of explain the whole, I think Nisco here made a very long page image that we can look at. But they went through and talk about how, you know, that was the reason that they did. There's been talk in the community about our significant $1.6 million budget.
Yep.
However, it should be understood that we received the sum over the course of 4 years. After taxes, licensing fees, platform fees, refunds, etc., our annual developer salary budget has been on an average about $170,000. With this considered, I'm extremely proud of our team and what they've accomplished. So $170,000, that's pretty high for a debt.
I'm sorry, I just cried this whole glass of water reading this blog post. Are you... Okay, so
they're paying their developer, they're paying their game devs $170,000 on average. That's pretty high.
That's a fantastic. You got to remember what an average is, Brian. People are making a lot more and a lot less. That's how averages work too. So, So there are a couple things here. First of all, their original Kickstarter goal at 160 grand for as what they described it as the biggest MMO ever was retarded. I mean, you're not going to build the biggest MMO ever on 160 grand. And there are serious issues with taxes, but guess what? Every company and every business has to deal with that. So with that being the case, they took funding on their website. And I took this screenshot before the program, as of right now, they have made they've made $447,092 is the total amount that they had raised as of right now. Yes.
Yeah.
That's over 4 years. So you're talking about $1.5 million that they've made over the past 4 years. And they're paying their developers 170 grand a year. And what they have is a incredibly cobbled together, unplayable, misrepresented game. And this is why people don't trust early access and Kickstarter and in-development games. So what is their grand solution, Brian? You think, hey, maybe we'll push all this content out. Maybe we'll work for free. Maybe we'll stop paying our developers $170,000 a year to make this. That would make sense. Yeah. No. Instead, they're going to slow development down and now just release the game in bits and pieces, making it completely unplayable in the long term.
Yeah.
They are bitching about $170,000. You don't want to know what the average median income in the county that I live in North Carolina, Brian? I live in New Hanover County, North Carolina, on the coast. The average income for a family of four is like $38,000.
Yep.
I'm sure in Boise, Idaho, it's not that much more either. And they're bitching about $170,000 a year salary.
The crazy thing,
they can't build a game. Are you kidding me?
The crazy thing is their average salary is double the average salary in the industry.
How? I look at a game like Miscreated. Those guys aren't making up. Those guys can't be making any money. And they've got a fully featured, fully developed game. And these scumbags over at Identity have got the balls, after they've stolen $1.5 million from people, to put on a sob fest about how taxes cost money and fees cost money and licensing costs money. Get out of here. Fold up your studio, take the money and run.
I mean, if you look at their Steam forum and look at all the locked posts where people are saying they're like, can I get a refund? Like all these people are asking for refunds on there. It is crazy. I mean, this is definitely not a good blog post for them to put, when you're justifying, like, oh, but we really don't make that much money. We only make double the industry. It's like, well, obviously you aren't trying to make a game with the limited amount of funds you have, because you wouldn't be paying your developers double the going rate of the game developer.
Head Neophyte's reporting that the average household where he lives is 40 grand. And that's typically a family of four, two working adults and two children. That's very common across the United States. Now these guys are in Canada, so they're playing with Monopoly money. So I don't know how that works out. And I'm sure there are some issues with them being in Canada with VAT. It's not technically VAT.
But yeah, whatever their
whatever currency taxes. Well, and it's not even the taxes. It's that the importing, you have to pay sales tax differently on things in the U.S. And then it's not technically a tariff, but there's different things when you're selling things across country lines. So I'm sure that's an issue. But the whole point is, do your damn research before making a game. They're complaining about things that every single business owner in the entire world has to deal with. Taxes, dealing with licensing fees. I mean, that's like, Brian, that's like you coming on the show and saying, I mean, this is ridiculous. I've got to pay my internet bill every month. I've got to pay my power bill. I've got to pay my water bill. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is a game that's talking about how it's going to be so huge. I mean, that's one of its selling points. And the thing that they released, that Town Square, was more like something that a developer would have sold on the you know, the Unreal Marketplace or something. I mean, it looked very much like an Unreal Marketplace. Oh, here's a level you can buy. That's all it felt like. There was nothing spectacular. The gameplay that I saw was so buggy that it was ridiculous.
Well, here's the whole funny part. So they put this whole dev blog out, this whole letter, this big crying fest of a letter. There's nothing in here. There's no pictures. There's no videos. There's nothing. So they still have nothing to show.
Yeah.
And they're complaining about paying developers. If I was one of these studios like Miscreated, Zero Survival, any of these other small teams that we talk about, Jaws of Extinction, and I read this post, I would be irate, Brian. I would be livid that the developers of this game have the balls to publish an article like this when there are so many other games across the world that are doing far more, sometimes with like $170,000 for the entire studio. These guys are making nothing. They are practically working for free because they love the project that they're working into. They love the project that they're working on. They're dumping their heart and soul into it. This is incredibly offensive to the game development community for a post like this. This is a woe is me, give us more money even though we have nothing to give you.
And if you look at their recent reviews, very negative recently, mostly negative all. And there's only like 443 reviews total. So not very many people have purchased this game in the first place. Or at least have bothered to redeem their Steam codes.
Now, Brian, I don't know if we've ever done this on this program before, but I'm going to do this tonight. After 5 years of doing the show, I would like to issue to you and to the audience of the, if you are in broadcasting voice of my microphone, I would like to issue an Infection Podcast scam alert. To you, the listener, this is a scam. Do not buy this game.
I think we did a scam alert early on with H1Z1. I mean, there was a point where
this is a hardcore scam. This is a run in the other direction. This is a level 10 scam alert.
They're gonna use all their money to try to sue us.
Go steal our PayPal account. See if you can pay your $170,000 a year average salary out of our PayPal with $200 in it. Good luck to you. I mean, you got to be kidding. What a freaking joke. And Brian, this is nothing more than just, I hate to be right about this. This has been exactly what you and I have been saying for 2.5 freaking years now about early access. This is why I think if you are a game developer and you're releasing an early access game, you're out of your mind because you have to go up against this. And you just can't
compete. There's too many people that are doing this right now that are making all these promises that they know they can't deliver. People toss their money at them. It kills the reputation of all the other projects. You could have a project in here. And what was the other one? What was the other one that just showed the warehouse?
Yeah, the GTA-style game.
That was another one where it was all about role-playing and all that. And you were running around inside of a warehouse.
Yep.
And that it was absolutely nothing good, and they're like, they had all this. Yeah, it was one of those where it's like that, those kind of things where people get all excited, they make all the promises, people start tossing their money, and then you have a real title that comes up with real developers. It's like, hey, no, but I've got a one that's going to be good. People are, it's they've, you know, like the crying wolf thing that's happened too many times. People are numb to, hey, I've got this game, it's innovative, it's going to be great. Can you kickstart this? People don't want to do it anymore because
I don't blame them. I don't want to do it.
It's just not worth it. There's been too many failures over the years.
I mean, if you're buying an early access game, you have got, and I've said this before, you have got to be willing to take however much you spent, $20, rip it up, throw it in the toilet and flush it. That's what you have to be willing to do with early access. Cause that's it. And it's
there are some that are successful. 7 Days to Die, good game. Long Dark, a good game. Yep. You know, there's a list of games that have done this.
Unturned is a good game. Zero is a good game.
Ark was a great game. That have done it, that actually have released games that are playable, but the number that aren't playable, that they overshadow the list of games that are playable.
Raw was the name of the other game.
Raw,
inside the warehouse. Thank you. Yeah. Kickstarter suspended our campaign. Here's our official reason. Your project stated, blah, 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 blah. Donate to us on Indiegogo. I mean, you've got to be insane to back an early access game in 2020. You've got to be out of your mind.
Well, and with all these other big titles coming out, because I've talked about, like, for instance, in my Discord, you know, for my YouTube channel, I've talked about this with people saying, why I don't want to release a game right now, because first of all, there's so many other games out there that are instantly going to make your game disappear. You know, just look at once Cyberpunk comes out. We've got all these new things with consoles coming out.
Brand new consoles, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a whole new generation. Then we have, you know, like The Last of Us and, you know, whatever it is. Those things are spattered throughout this whole year. It's going to be so difficult to try to compete with that for any small developer. And look at how many we see that, oh, that'd be an interesting game. That would have been an interesting game 5 years ago. You know what I'm saying? When there wasn't 100 other games to play.
Yeah.
But, you know, people just don't have the time for those little, you know, building up games anymore.
So, agreed. So there, there's our little, there's our rant of the week, I guess. As we talk about that, it's very disheartening. Well, yeah. We've poured our, I can say this about me and about you, Brian, we've poured our heart and soul into talking about this stuff for the past 5 years. And it's just so disheartening to see people that want to believe in a project, want to support the project, get slapped in the face time and time and time and time again. It's just so disheartening. Yeah. It's sad. It sucks.
I think that some developers, like Nisco brings up Dead Matter, for instance. People get mad about Dead Matter being delayed. But look at the bigger picture that Dead Matter is possibly looking at when they make these decisions.
Possibly. That's the key word. And that's the struggle.
But what I'm saying is most likely what they're looking at is the fact that a lot of these games are just like, you know, spark in the pan. It just, boom. You know, like they release, you never hear about them again. Well, in the old method of doing things where you're releasing content over long periods of time, you release an early alpha, and then you slowly add features and people are supposed to kind of hang on and be like, oh, you added this and you added that. People don't do that anymore. So for a game where when they first did their Kickstarter, that was acceptable. You know what? Now it's not. That people want to have a mostly playable game that is almost done by the time it's released. And I think Dead Matter saw this. And personally, I think that that's why they're delaying until they have a game that's, you know, whatever percentage they may consider it, but a certain percentage done to where then they're polishing after that, not the old early access that we're used to where, oh, you can run around. There's things on the ground, but, you know, that's a playable game, right?
Oh my God, that's so great.
Yeah. Look at this. This is amazing. I mean, that's what early access used to be. Could your character move? Yes. All right. Playable game. Let's go.
Give me $100,000.
Yeah. And I think that things have changed quite a bit over the years, and you know, you just can't release that kind of a game anymore.
Absolutely. So that's Identity, issuing an official Infection Podcast scam alert. Do not buy. Don't take my word for it. Take the very negative overall reviews on Steam and all of the locked posts on their form. Now, Brian.
Well, and one thing, Nax in chat, he mentions that Chronicles of Illyria, which we talked to one of the guys
PAX
years,
East,
a couple of years, however many years. Yeah, PAX East. And he was so hyped. We were like, oh, how can you not be hyped about this? Guy's so hyped about this. He's promising everything in the world. And then what, 6 months ago, was it, or something, we saw a video gameplay video. And I remember I said, man, that looks really rough. Like nothing is things aren't textured. It was super rough, low detail. And people were like, no, no, those are just placeholder. And I was saying,
oh wait, when you're this didn't tickle your fancy, Brian?
Exactly. people are telling me, oh, this is all placeholder. First of all, he's running 3 inches, 4 inches above the ground. But there you go. He's still above the ground a little bit. But they're like, oh, this is all placeholder. Well, why are you wasting your time putting in placeholder for the whole world? Like, you can't have everything. If you're supposed to be releasing within a reasonable amount of time and 100% of everything is placeholder, what work are you actually doing? There should be like maybe a mostly complete world with some placeholder content in it. No, they're claiming the whole world is placeholder. No, this is what the game's generally going to look like. This is not placeholder. This is generally the game.
Yes.
It's going to be maybe polished up a little bit, but it's not going to be drastically better. Look
at
this dock,
Brian. Look at all these. Look at these. Look at these assets that you can't interact with.
Yeah, I just
that's not getting you all hot and bothered, Brian.
Well, I'm bothered by the fact that he's hovering above the ground by 6 inches. I mean, that to me is kind of annoying. That shows me that they haven't even put the time in to get their collision boxes correct. Or, I mean, you could put an IK if you, you know, which makes your feet touch the ground. I mean, little things like that, that where they've been putting working on this game for so long and they've raised so many funds.
That video came out.
How is that your playable?
3 months ago.
Hmm?
Three months ago, that video came out. We are just the we're just the bearer of bad news today, Brian. I'm going to ask you a Jeopardy style question, and I want you to give me an answer. Okay, what is a game that has never released a DLC or a map on time ever?
Oh, I would probably go with.
Come on, it's Jeopardy style question. Jeopardy style answer. It's correct. What is Ark? And here we go back at it again. I was actually talking to Brian. One of my coworkers is just getting into Ark. And he was like, oh man, did you see Genesis? This was like a couple weeks ago. He's like, oh man, did you see Genesis? He's like, oh, this is going to be the greatest thing ever. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be delayed. He's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's going to come out. I'm like, dude, I've been covering Ark since the day it came out. They have never released a map or a DLC on time. And now for the second time, I believe Genesis is being delayed, and Genesis Part 1 will now be coming out on February 25th. It was supposed to be out in early December, I want to say, originally. Then they delayed it to January, and now we are late February for release. February 25th, 2020 for Genesis Part 1.
Yep.
That's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, but I mean, for us, we understand this now, as you said, and we're just like, all right, we don't. I remember one of the early on expansions, like we were ready. We're like, oh, we're gonna play on this day. We're gonna be doing all this, and it's like, okay, so this day it's releasing, so we're gonna have all play as a group. This is gonna be great, and then they delayed it and delayed it and delayed it, and it's like, okay, and then they've done that with a couple other things as well, and Atlas. And then now we're just to the point of, it doesn't matter what they say, we'll play it when it comes out because we just know they're going to delay it a couple more times.
Now, to give Ark credit, and Falcon says this, and obviously we're making fun of this, and I've said this 1,000 times again, over, Ark has by far gone leaps and bounds over its expectations, over what it was originally supposed to be, some stupid little dinosaur game. It has gone leaps and bounds over that. And they've delivered on almost everything that they've wanted to do. But it's almost comical at this point that they cannot announce a release date and hit it. Yeah. Why don't they just say, we're intending on releasing the game January 1st. Why don't they just delay it? Why don't they just, by default, say, let's add 60 days to that? And guess what? It can come out early.
The problem is they'll delay it. Then they'll delay that date.
Yeah.
That's the problem. One thing, and like, for instance, my nephews have just started playing Ark on our servers.
Okay.
Like it's an excellent game because they asked me, you know, what games do you guys play? Like, what's a good game to get if you're wanting to start playing on PC and playing a survival game? I was like, Ark.
Agreed.
It's by far one of the better games to play. And they've been having a blast, you know, and so there's nothing against Ark. They just are lousy at meeting their expectations as far as dates.
It's just, you would think eventually you'd figure it out. But no, I don't believe they've ever released a piece of DLC or a map on time. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
Yeah. And the whole Atlas thing kind of did take away, like Nax is bringing up, did kind of take away from their image. Because that one they've dropped the ball on totally.
Big time.
You know, and they've never dropped the ball with Ark. Like they've stumbled. They've been late. But you know what? When they get the content out, generally it's good. And they continue to improve it. Atlas, I think they've just kind of given up on and stopped developing it. I mean, I keep putting it in the show notes, but we're now at another week of no patches for Atlas. And no word on, I mean, they're supposed to be fixing the Linux server issue. Not a word on that. So it's just kind of silly. But, you know, well, for them, knowing them, they are the kind of guys that put all of their resources into one thing at a time. I think once this is released, you know, they're all working on releasing Genesis. Once that's released, then possibly we'll see them starting putting time into Atlas again. Maybe they'll fix it some more.
So there is a dev blog, or it's not really a dev blog. It's a message from the founders, Jesse and Jeremy, who originally started Wildcard and originally started Ark. So we've got that in there. They talk about some things with anti-meshing. They give some updates on that. And there's a couple of other things in here about player stats and the code of conduct and some things like that. Overall, it's not too exciting of a read. If you're an Ark fanatic, I'd recommend you read it because there is some interesting information in there. And the link, of course, for that will be on our website, infectionpodcast.com. But there it is. Atlas, Ark Genesis Part 1, delayed February 25th, 2020 is the new release date. So that's actually a Tuesday, about 4 weeks from now.
Cool. So we'll see. We'll see if we can talk about it in the show.
I'm sure it'll come out that day, which sucks because then we won't be able to talk about it until the next week because nobody will have played it at all.
Played it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about a game that you enjoy, Dead by Daylight. They did put out a small kind of a hot fix, but if you look at their hot fix, there's actually a lot going on with it. And also, they did a survey, which we can talk about.
Oh, okay, great.
Well, so they went through and added a number of features and content to it. For instance, the compendium page on the archives allows users to go back through previous tomes and complete challenges. They added a new rift and challenges for tome 2 in the archives. They are showing and hiding the tally screen chat that is now persistent through the match. I guess I didn't look at it, but would it show up and you'd hide it and then show up in the next match or something?
Probably.
They added support for the party, lobby, and tally chat, and that's compatible for Steam users. Added cross compatibility support for the party, lobby, and tally chat between GRDK users. Do you know what that is? GRDK.
I was looking at that earlier. Steam, I don't know what GRDK
is. Yeah, I'm not sure what GRDK is. They removed the invert camera in-game keybind and then did just a couple of tweaks. But they remember they've been going through and kind of tweaking a certain character. They've been working on the doctor, so they had a lot of tweaks because they did major changes to him in the main patch. This is a hot fix. But in the 3.5, they did a lot of changes to the doctor, and now in 3.51, they've gone and tweaked some of those and kind of been balancing it more. So another thing that they did is they have a survey that they put out, and this, and we don't need to do it on here, but they said it takes about 9 minutes, and they did this last year, if I remember correctly. I don't remember if it was about a year ago, but they had put out a survey at that time, just kind of asking about the player experience and things that you'd like to see. And so, you know, the first question is, how satisfied are you with the game? I mean, that's a good thing to ask your player base because, you know, you have a lot of people that will go on to social media, they'll go on to forums, and they'll complain about your game. But you generally don't hear from the people that are incredibly satisfied. And so you can put, you know, satisfied. And then they say, hey, what do you like about our game? And I think that this is a good way for them to continue, because I think that's what they've been trying to figure out, is like, what do people enjoy about our game? What can we improve? You know, it's not necessarily always about having new monsters. You know, I think they heard from their player base, they wanted better balance between the killers and the players. They wanted to have better balance as far as the abilities and on the maps. And I think that that's what they've been working on a lot. And I would assume that's probably from player feedback, because there was a lot of people complaining about how killers had a much higher chance of winning a game than the survivors did. So I think that if you're an active player like Nick, I would, you know, even though you haven't played recently, I would still say that you are an active player of this game. Go in there and fill this out, because this may affect kind of the future of how they are dealing with characters and patches and everything else.
It is your duty as an active player of any game when they release a survey. And I mean, this survey says it'll take you an average of 9 minutes. I mean, just breeze through. It'll take you probably three. I mean, I've been pretty consistent in my thoughts on this, Brian. If you're going to bitch and complain about something, you either need to be playing on a test server or filling out a survey or doing something to be part of the solution on it. And if you're playing if you're a Dead by Daylight player and have not filled out this survey, you're screwing yourself, the community, everybody else that plays the game, and the developers by not giving them your feedback. Now, don't be a jerk in it. Don't say because you have one issue, strongly disagree on everything. But seriously, take some time and fill it out. I mean, I don't know why people are so hesitant. We've done surveys too. Yeah. It's like, can't get anybody to fill it out. Why? Just fill it. It's free. Fill it out. So the link is in our show notes.
Yeah. So if you're in there, we'll have it in the show notes. Check it out and it'll be under Dead by Daylight. Another game that Nick loves is No Man's Sky. They put out update six. Yeah. Hey, it's a great game.
Hilarious.
They put out another update, and this one was, so first of all, they have their Beyond. They kind of had series of patches, and this is update 6 to Beyond. And they've been going through and doing some pretty cool visual things, you know, putting in additional, skins, or, you know, heads of characters and things like that, getting a little more variety. They have special missions that they do on the weekends, which, it was good to kind of get people logging in on a regular basis and playing a game. But you know, they're still putting out patches. So if you haven't checked out No Man's Sky in a little while, I'd encourage you to go check it out, because they've done a lot to improve the playability. There's a lot of content to play through. I know you are dying to play this game.
No, I don't want, lost cause. I'll throw away $60 anytime I get the chance over playing that game.
So one thing, like, versus they added colored jetpack trails. I mean, come on.
Tintable.
It's not enough. Yes, tintable jetpack trails.
You got to be.
So,
so stupid.
You never know. It might be the game that you discover again in a year.
Well, so speaking of games to discover again in the new year, Brian, by the way, do we have a game giveaway as we are contributing to the decline, as we want to be contributing to the decline of PC sales in 2020? Do we have a game that we can give away? All right, while you're getting that ready, I want to talk about a game here and show a little video from it. It's called Withstand Survival is the name of the game. And it's a single player game, which is something that I'm finding myself more and more, Brian, wanting to play something, and we've discussed this in the past, so I'm not trying to I'm not trying to beat the dead horse here, but I'm finding myself more and more wanting to play a game that I can actually play and finish. And this game, Withstand, while it is still in alpha, this is their alpha 3 update. I find this to be very interesting. You're a journalist that arrives in some, you just show up in this weird area, and you're essentially going through the world and figuring out what is going on here. There's a bunch of mysteries, a bunch of crazy things going on. There's a crafting system. You're fighting things. It's a legitimate survival game, and it's single player. Yeah. And I am finding myself more and more interested in games like this that may actually have an end over something like No Man's Sky or over Ark or over Rust. Not that those are bad games. It's just, I don't know. Playing Doom recently really opened my eyes to, like, hey, you can actually play a game and finish it. So, little bit of gameplay here from that. The video is like 12 minutes long. But this is something that you need to keep an eye out on. This comes out March 5th. So this will be out here soon. And and you can jump in and play it. It's called Withstand Survival, single player game out in March. And there's a little bit of gameplay for it. I mean, am I crazy in this? Are you feeling the same way? Am I alone?
Well, I find myself being pulled to more of a single player game just because my time I can play is sporadic, right? And most multiplayer games, if you're wanting to play with your friends and things like that, you have to either put in a decent amount of time or be available at certain times. And I don't know when I'm going to be available. And so I find myself playing single player games because I can play a little bit before I go to bed and things like that. And so I think for me, a single player game that has some decent content is more appealing at the moment than a multiplayer game that just has, we have to dedicate a ton of time in a long, you know, because look at most of these games, you have to dedicate a long amount of time, because if you don't, your base will never get built or it'll get destroyed quickly. You're having to always kind of put those time sinks in there. And I just don't have time for time sinks at the moment. So I need something that's single player where I can save it and come back and start playing it again when I have a minute.
I hope that we can see more game. And here's the other thing too, from the I'm making a game point, these are a lot more realistic to make. The upfront cost, I'm rolling out servers are, I mean, it's not even.
And then dealing with all the bugs that come with multiplayer. I mean, yeah. And hacking, and there's just so many other variables that can destroy a game that you don't have to deal with on a single player game.
Now, one of the big disadvantages of a single player game, though, and you experience this with We Happy Few, is that it's hard to stagger content, especially if they're. Especially if there's a big story, a big overarching story. Now, I'm not sure what the story is in this, but We Happy Few was a very story-based game. And they essentially handicapped the game by not having a story available. And they just slowly reached out pieces of the story, and it really hurt them in the long run.
Yeah, people would have been much more happy with that game if there was content in the beginning. They had actually released content at the time, because that's the problem, is there was no content. I mean, you would exit that bunker, and then I was like, oh, welcome to the open world. Nothing is happening up here. So you had, 15 minutes of actual content in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, people want to have a mostly playable game now. And as you can see with that, they weren't patient. People weren't patient to wait.
So I'm hoping that we see a couple more of these sort of... these sort of single player games that have a beginning and an end and are realistic to play, like a Firewatch, something that you can actually play.
Yeah. In a reasonable amount of time,
even 20 hours. I can give 20 hours over a couple weeks to finish a game.
Do you think there's going to be less of this persistent world multiplayer? I mean, cause that's kind of the thing that's difficult, is look at Ark. I mean, your players in the world, so people can kill you when you're not playing. I think that there's going to be more of a casual mentality to upcoming survival games, to where when you log out of the world, like, you're actually out of the world. That means things like less of a base, you know, the presence and things like that in the world, because how do they deal with that? I mean, if you can't let people destroy them, things get polluted. So having the kind of game where you can build a bunch and do all these things, you know, that's enjoyable, but if you don't have all the time to put in there, those games just don't work anymore.
Yeah. Judd is posting a link to their Discord. I don't want to spend too much time lamenting on it. But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm just finding myself drifting very dramatically away from games like Rust, Ark, H1Z1, Just Survive. I'm not interested in a game like that right now.
So, for the game giveaway, I'm giving away a copy of Bastion. That has very positive recent reviews, overwhelmingly positive all reviews. It was released in 2011, but it's like a cartoon, very good graphics, has very good ratings, currently $15 on Steam. So put !! giveaway in chat, and we'll give that away before the end of the show.
All right, excellent. And if you are listening to this after the fact, that's great. We appreciate you listening after the fact. But if you want to join us here live, we are here every Tuesday evening around 7 p.m. Eastern time doing our show. We run about two and a half hours. We do a little bit of pre-show. We chat, play some music, do a post-show, typically watch a funny video or raid a streamer. So if you're listening to this after the fact and you can join us on a Tuesday night, we would love to have you. All right. Where do we go next, Mr. Aldridge?
Well, let's do the we mentioned it a little bit with Ark, but I'll just go over to the quick patch notes. There was one patch in Ark this past week, and this is something they actually referred to in that article at the very end. But on January 22nd, they improved and added several upgrades to the meshing detection system. And so they have a more detailed, under the delay article, if you want to go on there, they do discuss about the issues that they've been having with people meshing, where they are. So the mesh is pretty much the ground of the world, you know, the floor of the world. And people have been called what they call under meshing, where you can go and move outside of the playable area of the world. So let's say you can get underneath the map or something like that. This is an issue. Actually, you see this with speedruns. They discussed this in the articles. When people are doing speedruns, generally they're using under meshing to kind of manipulate the world and get through something faster than they should have. But people were using it to get into people's bases and to just do things that they're not supposed to do. And this causes big problems on open world online games like this. So they've been trying to deal with that. Things like when someone is under mesh, because that is, it happens, like when you're running around and doing things, like it may detect that you're under mesh when you're really not. But if you, for a certain period of time, remain under mesh, that's when they will then like relocate you and try to fix it. So that's what they've been working on. So you may notice some differences in Ark because of that.
Now, is that something that a cheater does, or is that something that happens just by happenstance? Or is it a mixture of both?
So the ones that will be detected generally will be, you could be just running somewhere and kind of step in a weird spot, and it may be a little bit of undermeshing, right? But people then find those spots and work their way to get to a spot that they're not supposed to be at. So in a way that is cheating, but people were using before, one place that you really saw this is people were getting on dinosaurs where the mount, like let's say the saddle of the mount was farther ahead than where the character should be. So like when you get off of the mount, you're in a place that you shouldn't be, that okay, the base of that dinosaur wasn't allowed to go into, but his head was, and maybe you're up by his head. Then when you get off, you drop into a place that you weren't supposed to be. Those are the kind of things that people were doing.
Gotcha.
And it was a big problem because people were raiding bases that were supposed to be unraidable, and people were getting into places they weren't supposed to be and putting things there. It was just a problem. So yeah, that's the current problem. And it's one that they ignored a long time. There's been a lot of people that quit playing Ark on the official servers because of this. So I assume they're trying to do this before the expansion is what they're probably trying to do.
All right. You also mentioned that Alice, there's nothing to talk about. No new updates. Nope. It's been going on what, probably 3 or 4 weeks now since we've had anything?
Yeah, it's been a while, and I think some of the ones that they did were not huge updates. I'm just making the assumption that it's not 100% dead. It's just that they're working on Ark at the moment.
Because it's supposed to be these two different teams, though.
Yeah, but they're just saying, really not.
Just saying.
I mean, if they are two different teams, what's this team doing? They're not making updates to the servers. They're not making updates to the client. Yeah, they're chilling. They are in the Seattle area, so who knows what they're doing.
I mean, but they're clearly not working on the game.
Yes. And so, this is an issue. If they're not working on at Ark, if that's pretty much where the majority of the team is, if they're not there, then I don't know what they're doing. Because there's no content. Yeah, they're just chilling. That's it. All right, make $170,000 a year.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could post an article about how woe is me making $170,000 a year.
Yeah. They're only on average. The guy who's writing that article, how much is he making? How many is he paying himself?
I've never been somebody that's anti people making money, and I'm not anti people making money. But to write an article like that, and all that really shows, Brian, on a larger scale, is, and I think this is accurate across the industry, game developers, people in the game industry, journalists being so out of touch with what the rest of the people in the United States and the world really live like. Because when you look at average median salaries being $35,000 to $45,000 for a married family of four in the United States, and you're bitching about making $170,000 a year, you are either incredibly out of touch or retarded. Yeah. It's one or the other. There's nowhere else. You're either so out of touch or you're just a moron. There's nothing else in between.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that didn't look good when he says.
But it's not just them.
Your average person looks at that and says, huh, okay.
Yeah, the average person making $32,000, a single guy making $32,000 a year, who's spending $60 on your game, and then you write in, he's giving you his $60, and then you write an article about average making $170. How do you think that comes across?
Well, obviously, they don't think there's an issue with it, which might be concerning when, if you're looking at how the money's going to be spent inside of that company.
Oh yeah.
When they're not, for the way he wrote it in the article, he was like, hey, see, doesn't this make sense, right? Look at this. You know, after all that, we're bringing all this money, but after all these expenses, I mean, we bought all the hookers and blow. And we only have $170,000.
Yeah.
On average. The person, doing stuff with coffee and everything, they bring our average down a little bit with their,
of course,
$50,000 a year, but the rest of us.
Must be nice.
So, yeah. All right. Anyways. So let's, one thing I wanted to mention, we had mentioned Unturned. I don't remember if it was in the post show about possibly, having Nelson on again.
Yeah.
And there was somebody who has been part of testing Unturned 2, and he had mentioned to Nelson, and he said, sure. He said, once they get a little bit closer on development to Unturned 2, he'd like to come back out.
Great.
And be on the show. But they want to have it to where, because mostly what we'd be talking about is Unturned 2. And he wants to have it to where they're about ready to announce something before he comes on the show. So that would be great.
Maybe a exclusive.
Yeah. I mean, we were, I think, one of the only people to ever show his face.
We were the only time. Yeah.
I've never seen this face anywhere else. So he did show, and he kind of was apprehensive, saying that he hadn't been on camera before, and all the people, the Nelsonites, just freaked out.
They were in love. Did you just coin that?
Yeah, the Nelsonites. There was I don't remember if there's another term that they used for themselves, but
they did use a term. I don't remember what it was though.
If
you look at the comments on that video, it's just full of people.
Lord Nelson and all the different things they call him.
Funny stuff. Looking forward to that as we get more information on Unturned 2, and hopefully we'll be bringing Nelson back on the show and learn a little bit more about taking a game and remaking it completely from scratch in a whole new engine, which is, I can imagine, quite the haul. What else we got here, Brian?
All right, let's talk a little bit. Now, PUBG, I had talked about 6.1. They had put it on the test server.
Yep.
And they have actually pushed that out to live now. And so most of what we had discussed before with 6.1 is there, but there is a video and it's in English. If you remember correctly, last time the video that they put on with the 6.1 test was in Korean or whatever.
You almost had me. I almost played it.
I know. It was great. But this one is in English. I promise you it's in English. And so they actually will show some of the new map and some of the things that we discussed about the test version of 6.1.
We'll watch that. If for some reason it's not, you can send emails to brian@infectionpodcast.com. Mm-hmm.
It's a new year, and we're bringing it in with a bang. A new island is ready for your landing, and Karakin is not forgiving. You'll need to employ new tactics and strategies if you want to survive. Vikendi will be rotating out to make room for Karakin, but don't worry. Vikendi will be back in the future. All of this and so much more is here in Season 6 of PUBG. Welcome to Karakin, a 2x2 island off the northern coast of Africa. The island's octopus fishing industry has all but vanished, but most people know that the real economy of the island was its lucrative smuggling operation. Even the local textile factory acted as a front for these underworld and underground deeds. The remains of the tunnels are scattered across the island and make for intense new scenarios for those who learn their pathways. The latest battleground is a beast of a different breed, rising from the sea. Buildings on the island have visible weak points where players can use the new sticky bomb to breach walls and catch their enemies unawares. Stay alert to the types of walls you're taking cover behind as well, since some unfinished walls can be penetrated by gunfire. This island also inverts the idea of danger zones with the introduction of the Black Zone, a strategic missile strike that completely lays waste to buildings and targets, along with any campers that might be hanging out inside. Buildings on Karakin are still viable cover. Just be sure to spend some quality time outside when you hear those sirens start to blast. In addition to all these changes and additions, we're also happy to report several quality of life improvements, including minor sound improvements and new integrations of your PUBG ID into post-match reporting and while you watch your death cam or spectate. Players can also go inside the story of Karakin with Survivor Pass Shakedown. The mysterious operators of the battlegrounds continue to grow their operation, but to what end? Complete over 400 missions and challenges throughout the Survivor Pass to unlock the skins of the movers and shakers in the fight for control of Karakin. You can find the Survivor Pass under the Pass tab on the navigation bar of the lobby. Stay tuned as we reveal more of the legend behind the island in a new series of PUBG motion comics unlocked throughout the season. While there's lots happening on Karakin, we wanted to make sure that you didn't miss that the Motor Glider, of PUBG Labs fame, was added to live servers for Miramar and Arengal last update. The Motor Glider can transport you and a squadmate in the air and get you perspective on where the action is on the map. To take off, first you'll need to fuel the glider. Then you'll want to get the speed up to 70 kilometers an hour. And once you're moving, you can use the sticky throttle to lock in your forward acceleration. Be careful around the rotor, or you'll learn who wins the face-off between your face and a mower. Several changes to keep in mind is that there are now 40 places the glider can spawn, but only 10 will spawn in a given match. To add a bit more challenge to the experience, you're going to need to fuel it yourself before you can fly anywhere. Season 6 is upon us, and Karakin is here. The battle for this small island is going to be explosive. So squad up, drop in, and throw down.
All right, there we go. PUBG. I feel like I could be a real professional with that glider. I mean, I've got a stellar track record of flying motor vehicles and video.
I know. Rust was stellar.
I mean, I didn't have any issues.
The people that rode with you were dead, but hey.
I mean, it happens. Happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, I mean, they did mention in there, one thing we didn't know, that map that they're replacing with this one will be coming back. They're probably going to revamp it, rework it. One thing I like about this, though, the thing that stands out to me, they're actually including lore into the world.
Okay, you beat me to it, yeah.
That most of these games don't do. But I think that the standard has kind of changed. You look at some of the other games have been introducing lore mainly because it sells characters, right? You look at Apex, they put a story behind each character. Even Overwatch and all these things. That's how you get people tied to a character. And it works better in the long run, where there's very little that really ties you to ties you to PUBG as far as lore. And I think that they're going to try to change that to where each one has a unique. And I think that that's more of a recent thing that they've been doing, because there was something else they had announced a little while ago, and it seemed like they were adding more of a story and trying to create some of that backstory and lore to kind of keep people interested. So,
So I asked you this last week, and I felt like you gave me an answer that wasn't accurate. So now okay. I can actually press you. So you're assuming you're going to go play this.
The 6.1?
Yeah. I asked you last week about lore and backstory because I am still standing by my claim that as much as you like lore, as much as I might like lore, but that's the problem then, Brian. So then my question to you,
but it's more for those people that but look at how it's worked in Overwatch. Look at people that really get into those characters. Right. That's the kind of lore that I'm talking about. Not that, I need to figure out the next thing, but to you, those characters are more real. Right. And I think that for the lore of PUBG, it's not so much about the characters. It's more about the world seems more real to you. It's not just an empty map that you're running around that seems stupid. Naxx is bringing up League of Legends. that's one of their things has been those characters have this backstory and there's tons of characters and you kind of get ones that you favor because there's something about them. I think that's the kind of lore that I'm talking about. I'm not going through them like, oh, I just really want to find out what happened with this smuggling operation on this island, but it makes the world more real around you.
So agreed. And I would say for a game like League of Legends and a game like Overwatch, where character composition and classes are so important, I agree. I think it makes a lot of sense. I will stand by this to the day I die. In a game like PUBG, in a game like H1Z1, in a game like ROE, I don't think it's worth a damn. I think it's a total waste of time for the developers. And I just, it doesn't add anything. There's no classes. There's nothing. Yeah. And Overwatch, you're like, oh, the lore.
Because they don't have any classes, they're kind of limited on how they can implement these sort of things. So they're having to do it through the world.
I just think it's a waste of time. In these specific games, I think it's a waste of time. When there's no class, where there's no abilities that vary based on player, everybody falls in as the exact same NPC. Or no, not NPC. Playable person. Everybody drops in as the exact same person. So what the hell's the lore worth? I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's more that I think that's kind of, it's just something you glean over time with this, with the way they're doing it. As you're kind of running around, it starts to make a little more sense. And I think it just, I don't know, with this, there's not that immediate kind of reward of, oh, hey, you learned this and you know about your character. But I think it is something for people that play a lot. It gives them a little extra something that they know about the game that your average person doesn't.
Yeah,
which is kind of rewarding.
For the hardcore players, I would say yes. My judgment for a lot of things, Brian, is, okay, you're going to spend time on this. You're going to spend time on X or Y or Z, whatever it may be. How is it going to bring more players to the game, which equals more money? I would make the argument in PUBG, adding that little tidbit about, was it an octopus town, but it really was a black market?
But what if they use that and start doing special events and things?
What if?
Tailoring, yeah.
But are you going to go play the game because of it? I don't think you will.
No, because it's not enough for me.
And that's my that's my problem.
It's too surface, much surface stuff.
It's not serious.
I think it helps. I think for them, it helps to make the game more unique, where it currently they're struggling to be unique anymore.
I would agree. Totally agree with that.
Yeah. And so I think that this is them trying to stay relevant and stay unique in a game that struggled with it for a long time. I mean, it was kind of an ARMA clone for a little while. And then, you know, they've kind of revamped and reworked. I think they've done a definite change in direction from where they were a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And I think that they've been kind of changing the kind of content they put out. They've been really focusing on making the game more stable. I haven't been hearing complaints about how unstable the game is. The mechanics seem to be getting better. I think that they're trying to, rather than stick to a specific vision for the game, I think they're trying to make it as playable as possible.
That's good.
Which hopefully it works for them.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
That's 6.1. We'll also have the link to the article if you want to go check out their full patch notes. You can do that as well.
All right. We've also got an update here, Brian, from Astroneer. This is their 1.9.8 update, and it's their January 24th patch. And I must say, before we start talking about it, this game is so pretty, and it's just got the coolest art style and graphic style. Every time I see pictures from this game, I'm blown away. They did a good job
with the palette.
Cool looking game.
One thing they did is they added the ability to do hot swaps. So pretty much when you're working on things, you can jump between objects they show a little video of it. But a big part of this is building and placing and working with things. Adding some extra functionality.
And what this is really for me, I look at this is for the console users that they're on PlayStation.
Because it's such a pain to click around and to do everything. Where on a mouse, it'd be much easier. I'll click here, select this, do that. Once you start using a controller, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Good luck. Rest in peace.
Yeah. But they have been working on the whole controls issue. For instance, air controls. So when you're flying, or, you know, jumping midair, they have it to where you can hold down shift, left shift on the keyboard, or you can hold down X on the controller, or square, or Xbox controller, you hold X, and then square on the PS4 controller, and it allows you to kind of control yourself. Same thing with augment power toggle. They've put keys on there for this, those same keys, except for on the keyboard, it's F and then X and square to toggle that. And, you know, they're mainly just trying to fix those, because a game like this, when you released on a console, because didn't they release on the console at PAX?
At least they announced it. They announced it at PAX, yeah.
So it hasn't been out that long on a controller, or, you know, things that are on consoles. So they're definitely working on that. And they talk about, you know, updating the shredder, which takes objects and breaks them down to materials. They've been working on some of the UI elements. And then other than that, they've been doing performance optimizations. One thing they said, they heavily optimized Unreal's replication graph and added the net dormancy concepts to many object types in order to cut down multiplayer lag replication time by depending on game state and save up to a factor of 11. So this will be further improved with future revisions as they add dormancy to more object types. So just trying to, I mean, that's the thing, is Unreal out of the box does not come optimized for multiplayer. No, I don't know of any game engine that actually does. These are things that they have to go in and really work on. And we saw it happen with Ark. Ark is a perfect example of this. The early Ark versus where we're at now. Night and day difference.
Would you say that Unity is the best out-of-the-box multiplayer engine? I think they are.
Maybe out-of-the-box. It's the easiest to work with.
Yeah, for sure. And I think they've got a lot of that.
Their net code is probably more complete. So I would think so. Now, that's probably the most common, and they're probably the easiest to find people that have implementations and code ready. There's a limited amount with Unreal, limited amount with almost all engines.
I believe one of their default SDKs is actually a multiplayer game, or it's got some networking built into it.
Yeah, and Unreal really doesn't include very much.
If you think Unreal's bad, I mean, look at CryEngine. Look what Miscreated's had to go through. I mean, Jesus Christ. They took a single player engine and built a multiplayer game on it.
Yep. And then the Amazon comes in, buys the whole thing, and then makes it multiplayer. But they. Oh well.
Yeah. Rest in peace. That's suck. Don't be the trendsetter. You're just gonna kick the balls.
You learn your lesson.
Yeah.
So they've been working on that, kind of optimizing it and making it work better for multiplayer. You know, because right now it's a limited number of players, but who knows? Maybe this is an indication that they are making bigger multiplayer worlds, possibly. So that'd be kind of cool. So that is Astroneer. Also, The Long Dark. They've continued to put out. I mean, this is one of those early Kickstarter ones. Remember when I said when we were talking about Kickstarter and things like that, this is the ones that did it right. They have so surpassed their Kickstarter promise. These are guys that had a Kickstarter vision, and then they're like, oh, but we can, man, this game is taking off. We can do so much more. And then they have just quadrupled, you know, the expectations of what they originally promised. So this one's just a hot fix. Does some fixes based on their 1.7 patch that they had. And so not a huge thing, but I just thought it was worth mentioning that they're continuing to put a bunch of time, and the game is just awesome. So if you have time to sit down and play it, I would definitely encourage people to try The Long Dark. Really good survival game. Hurt World is one. Oh yeah. It's a hardcore survival game. Hurt World is one that they came into 1.0 here recently. In the past 6 months, and it just never really took off, but they're continuing to work on it. They did a little hot fix. There's 1.0.0.5, just fixing three issues. So if you're playing Hurt World, you could check that out. And then Scum that we almost played for Game of the Week here. Was it last week? We almost
two
played
weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
What do you mean almost? I did play it. I downloaded it. I wasted my hard drive space. I put wear and tear on my hard drive downloading data for no reason.
Yes. So they do say here at the top, I know this isn't exactly related to your thing, but they say, we might have messed up loot a bit. Well, you could say they might have messed up the ability to connect to your game a bit. They should have put that for their last patch that they did. But on this, they've been tweaking the loot, trying to make it to where the loot is better balanced. And for people that don't do game development, the whole way that the loot systems work is a lot of math. It's percentages of chances of things dropping, and because you don't want to have a bunch of one object. You want to have it to where certain objects drop in certain places, and it kind of seems natural. You don't have too much or too little of anything. And so they've been going through and really doing that, and they think they got it working well, but how many times do we hear this with H1Z1? They would go in.
Now.
Huh?
It's working now.
Yeah, now. Now that they closed the game down. But they would go through and tweak the numbers, and then loot would be non-existent for a little while, or it'd be way too much loot. Well, here they're trying to find that balance. But overall, they reduced loot. So trying to make it more consistent, but they have reduced loot in a lot of areas. They implement some quality of life things, for instance, added weight to all mines. So I guess you can't carry a million mines in your pocket. The adjusted weight of repairing kits, they disabled getting any kind of XP from events. People are probably using that to power level. They removed warning sounds from trap detection. And then they had a list of some bug fixes. For instance, added play interaction to instruments. So you can, I guess if that wasn't working. And fixing issues with explosives in vehicles. So it is on sale. So if you're interested in playing this game, 33% off. Once that 33% off sale ends, right now it's $24.99. It will be back at $30.
Your mileage may vary.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think you can log in now, but
won't know.
It's not always guaranteed.
Won't try.
7 Days to Die. They put out an 18.3 patch. Now this isn't the usual 10-page patch that they usually do. But they added a bunch of languages to this. They added a lot of languages. So they added localization support, which means that you can kind of swap out languages in your game for English, Spanish, Latin American, French, German, Italian, Polish, Russian, Brazilian, Portuguese, Turkish, simple Chinese, traditional Chinese, Japanese, and Korean.
How many is that?
I didn't count along
the
way.
It's 15. Okay.
15. Okay, thanks. Thank you for counting. As I read. And then they just did some tweaks and changes. This isn't a major patch, you know, with a bunch of new features, but they did put a decent number of fixes in here.
So all right.
That
cool
that
stuff from them.
18.3 of 7 Days to Die.
Now that's a game that's worth your buck for sure. That is another game that I think underpromised and overdelivered. It's taken a while, yeah, but it's got there and it's getting there actively.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't done the 2020 super graphics patch, but
I just have
a feeling it's not going to happen.
Don't write that in the book. That is not a gamble I'd make.
They've never been known for amazing graphics.
Hey, not important if you had a solid game. I'll say it 1,000 times.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's, we're almost done here. We're going to be done on time. This is going to be amazing. Rust, they put out their Lunar New Year patch. One thing that they've added in here are New Year gongs. So you can, at your base, you can have a giant gong. They've been doing a lot with audio. I mean, you look at their instruments. Do you think this is so that people can just annoy each other? Like, remember in
Rust?
Ark?
No.
Remember in Ark when they had the big drums?
Boom,
we just
boom,
sit there,
boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom. All day, sitting down there, just annoying people.
I can't imagine that Rust would.
There's audio on that video. If you can play that.
Here we go.
Play the little clip, and you can tell me if this is a few things. Exactly. Imagine that. Someone just standing inside of a base. Or no, even inside a base. People are surrounding you and you're just sitting there just hammering away as people try to raid you. I mean, I can imagine it already.
The war gong is here. Dong. We're going to make, can we make, do we have to buy that? I think we got to buy those.
Oh, the New Year gong.
Yeah. I might buy it. I don't buy DLC, but I'll buy one if we'll make it and then just put it in our base and hit it. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, and one thing it says is the notes even change based on where you strike it. So you have different sounds. So I'm not seeing
all the stuff it's charged.
Yeah. So, but it's, part of a pack. So they've got these new masks, the rat masks. They have fireworks, large or small fireworks. Sure.
All right. I don't know what this one is. Let's see. All right. Fireworks. Here we go.
This is the fireworks.
Oh, they're like little sparklers. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Damn. That's super neat. Good. That looks really good.
That's a lot.
That's super impressive. Now, I assume that was in-game footage and not in-engine.
I think that's in-game. Yeah, that's, I'm pretty
that's,
sure
that's impressive. Footage. Fireworks are super tough to do.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. So then they have the dragon door knockers, so people could come up to your house and
that gong is $5.
$5. Oof.
Yeah, I'm not
happy. But you got to think the people that are hardcore pay that in a minute.
Now I would buy the large fireworks. Not at $10. Not a chance in hell. Okay, no, disregard that statement.
Hey, they know who they're selling this to.
Not to me. I can not tell you that, me. And that's fine.
And then they have Chinese lanterns as well. So
that's pretty neat.
Yeah, so some pretty cool patches, some things you can check out. But if you play a lot of Rust, I'm sure you'll be seeing these around your world soon.
Yeah.
And then Jaws of Extinction, there's actually a video. It's a pretty long video. I don't know. It's 5 minutes.
You're driving. What are we doing?
Well, go ahead and play it because there's no talking.
Oh,
gotta love 5 minute videos with no talking.
Okay, so just talk. We'll talk over it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you can have a slight sound because there's a slight in-game sound in there, but it'll be pretty much just content. So,
okay,
this is some in-game footage from their 0.2.20A patch. Currently, they're on 0.2.20.9A, so they put out a number of patches since this. But just kind of give you an idea of where the game is. You can see that they've been consistently adding. I mean, you'll see the graphics are decent. This is the one where when we went in there wasn't really things kind of guiding you on where to go. But I think they've been putting a lot of work into it and just kind of staying under the radar because they are unlisted from the Steam store. Yeah, I think they're just trudging along, putting in content, trying to optimize. I mean, that's the hard thing. That was what we really noticed right away is the optimization has a lot of work to do because there's just so much. If you look, they're really populating the world with a lot of items. It's not bare. There's things everywhere. So that kills your performance. But if you look at the things, the indicators on the lower right, you know, telling you what keys you can press, I think they're doing a really much better on the UI than some of these other games that are similar that we've seen recently. So, but I think it looks pretty good.
It does. I think it needs a lot more work though.
Yeah. I mean, optimization is going to be a huge thing. Animations for the characters could be something that can be improved. I mean, they're kind of like, cookie cutter at the moment.
Did you just see that right there? Walking through the
shifted
fence?
To the left.
Yeah. Watch this when they, it's like when they walk through the fence, the camera like freaks out and goes like glitches for a second.
Clips.
Like that's not good.
Yeah. Man,
that stuff needs to be dealt with.
Yeah. And technically what needs to happen is when something like that happens, they need to limit the rate that the camera will slide, you know, and not have it snap. Cause I mean, what it did there was snap and you want to have it glide from place to place.
I hate to be the guy that nitpicks. Actually, I don't. I enjoy that. But I've played too many other games that's not an issue for it to be an issue in a game like this.
Yeah.
And that's part of the struggle. It's not just that Jaws of Extinction's not doing something well or whatever it is. It's just that when you play so many other games that have got this, that got these things sorted out, how can you go to a game that doesn't? That's a tough hill to climb.
But that this is part of that argument against early access right now. I mean, that's the thing is, this one is truly early access. At least they pulled it from an active listing, which I appreciate.
As do I.
But you know, this is early access, and you know, if I haven't seen them pushing for money or doing anything crazy, trying to get people to play the game. They've been like, don't play the game unless you're willing to play something that's buggy right now. So,
yeah, there you go. So, there's Jaws of Extinction. Yeah.
Jaws of Extinction. And that's a 5-minute video. So if people are interested, if you're listening or something, or if you want to see the whole thing, we'll have a link to the show notes. So you can go check that out.
We'll give it a try again. Whenever they,
I've been keeping an eye on it. I mean, it's been,
they haven't enabled multiplayer yet, have they?
I don't think so.
Now, once that's enabled, I'll give it another try. I'm more than willing to try again. Yeah, for sure. I'm not opposed to trying a game. I'm just opposed. I'm not even opposed. I will not play something that looks like it's broken. Plain and simple.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention, just as far as kind of give you an idea of what kind of things they're doing per patch. This last patch, they added the ability to throw grenades, Molotovs, smoke grenades, blood bombs, things like that. Mm-hmm. Added animation and sound effects for using first aid and consumables. Added tool tips to vicinity and container items. I mean, so they're doing like they're doing some of the major. This isn't and it made improvements to anti-cheat type of patch notes. They're actually doing some of the base things that you would expect in an early access game. So, but as you said, once they get to where multiplayer is enabled, I think at that point they'll have considered it far enough along to then, I think, give a better critique. I think right now they're not claiming to be that far along yet. There's a lot of stuff, but they've got a lot of little features and things to put in. I think it's a pretty small team doing it as well.
Yeah. Agreed. So.
Very good. Did we get all the games? I think we covered everything.
I believe we did.
Very good. This is like the closest we've ever been to on time ever.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, before we go any further, I've got a couple of things to talk about here, including some. Oh, look at that! It worked. According to some current players, some people that are currently playing games. Now, I will say this, H1Z1, King of the Kill, whatever it's called, down about 1,000-ish players across all of these stats since last week. Currently playing 2,377. The 24-hour peak, 7,530. The 7-day peak, 9,006. So we'll keep an eye on that, as I'm sure that number will continue to go down. That's just how it works. Currently playing ARK, 33,450. The 24-hour peak, 57,016. The 7-day peak, 74,395. Moving on over to Rust, which, by the way, is kind of separating itself from ARK. It's up almost 5,000 to 10,000 players in almost every category. Currently playing 40,132. The 24-hour peak, 57,092. 7-day peak, almost 80,000. 79,898. Let's take a look at Unturned. Another game, free-to-play game that people are not spending money on in 2019. 12,119 people currently playing. The 24-hour peak, 21,131. 24,390 is your 70 peak. And finally, let's take a look at everybody's favorite, PUBG. Currently playing 81,400. The 24-hour peak, 474,702. With a 70 peak, 528,702. And that's going to do it for current players, Mr. Braun.
Very good. All right. Well, are we ready to go into tip of the week?
Tip of the week? What's that?
Well, that's where I go through and either give a general gaming tip or I talk about a specific game. Is this, we're going to be playing some Rust this Friday. That will be tip of the week.
Helicopter tips. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. All right. So I guess the first tip would be, if you want to survive, do not get in a helicopter with Nick.
But, I'll prove you wrong Friday night.
All right. We'll see it. Let's see it. He's been practicing, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one thing that you might want to keep in mind, when I remember the first time I logged into Rust, I was like, all right, where do I go? But one thing that you might want to do is, when you first spawn in, you'll most likely be along a coastline somewhere, and you'll be holding a rock and you'll be naked. If you know kind of generally where you want to build a base at, I would suggest you just start immediately running there. Run there, and along the way, you'll see hemp plants that you can harvest. Keep picking those up as you see them, and then build sleeping bags as you go, and just kind of place those along the way, because if those sleeping bags will allow you to spawn back at those points. So if you have some troll who comes up and kills you, or something happens, maybe you go hug a bear or something, that way you can actually spawn at a closer point and not some random spot or all the way back at the beach. So grab all those hemp plants, make the sleeping bags, and then spawn back. Another thing that you might want to consider doing is, if you want to do a kind of a unique base build, is try testing that on the creative PvE servers. So you go in there in creative mode, and in a PvE environment, you can go and build a lot of things and not be restricted to what you've gathered, even, or at risk of people coming in and killing you while you're trying to build something, like we have had with us. This allows you to really go through and figure out the amount of materials you're going to need, because Rust is all about gathering materials and trying to build things and making a base that people won't immediately come in and kill you all in. Make sure to making those unraidable type of designs. And so that building this in a PvE server will allow you to figure out, all right, how do I need to have the initial placements of objects? Because that's something we had to go through a number of times. And then that will allow me to place the walls around the outside. And I think that's a lot easier to do when you don't have people, naked people, running up and shooting you with bows and arrows constantly. So that is tip of the week.
All right. I'll be flying my helicopter Friday night. Hopefully you'll join us. We'll find a server. We'll probably play on something that's a little tweaked, if I had to guess. Maybe a 2.5x. We'll find that server Friday. So if you are looking to play, make sure you are in our Discord. You can find the link for that on our website, infectionpodcast.com. We'll let everybody know what server we're playing on, and hopefully you'll join us. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't played Rust in I was going to say a hot minute, and then it's been a lot longer. When was the last time you think we played Rust?
August?
April of 2019. April 14, 2019. Feels like it wasn't that long ago. It was almost a year ago. So
yeah,
there it is.
So we'll be getting some more in.
Yes, we'll be doing that Friday night. Hopefully you'll join us.
All right. Are we ready to do this game giveaway?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's go ahead and close this. And congratulations, Bobby J.
Hey-o.
Bobby J, you have won a copy of Bastion. So I will send you a message in here, and you can go ahead and redeem that. It'll be a link that you can redeem to your Steam account. So congratulations.
Yes, thank you, Bobby J. Thanks for joining us, as well as I want to thank our friend Judd for hitting us up with a resubscription, mm-hmm, and then gifting a couple subs here during the program, as well as our friend Green Man Cartoons for hitting us up with the 24-month Tier 1 resubscription here on Twitch. So thank you, Green Man.
Very good.
It's funny, though, because now I would consider Green Man Cartoons a close personal friend now.
Yes.
Just based on the fact of the event that we went to and the interactions that we've had, it's just interesting how a relationship changes,
yeah,
so dramatically when you meet up with somebody.
Yep,
it's just interesting.
It is, and that's the thing, is you consider Lance a friend, Sean's been a friend, right?
Yeah.
You and I are friends, like
longtime friends.
Longtime friends, yeah. But you know, that's the thing, is getting in and being able to go to those real world meetups. I mean, that's pretty much what it was initially.
Yeah.
It's amazing how quickly you get to know that person so much better. You're like, okay, that is a person I consider a friend, not just somebody, crazy person I know on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. We're still working out our plans for this year. We're in touch with a couple different shows and cons and trying to figure out what one we're going to go to. And now if it's PAX or one of the other ones. If you're interested, we'd love to have you there. Love to hang out.
Yeah.
We always have a good time. Maybe some, good. Maybe a little bit of too much of a good time.
some of us do.
All right.
All right.
Dingo, boom, shakalaka.
Ayo, thank you, Firebomb, for hitting us up right here at the end of the program for 9 months. Don't forget me. I'm still here. We never forget. How can we forget you, Firebomb? It's impossible.
Thank you. The problem is Firebomb's been playing a lot of console games.
You know what? You know what really grinds my gears about this individual? He's been playing Dead by Daylight the past couple days. Not in voice chat. So I was like, oh, I'll play, but he's not playing. So I'm not playing.
So you're saying he needs to start inviting you?
I'm just saying, like, if you're playing Dead by Daylight, maybe be like, hey, Nick, I know you like Dead by Daylight. But I'm like, I don't, you know, I'm not going to infringe.
Maybe he feels like you hold him back.
Well, that is an accurate statement, but I mean, you know, I'm a good guy.
He's grinding for whatever things you can get. Yeah, what could he totems. I mean, you, totems. He's grinding for totems.
Blood points is what you actually get.
Yeah. So, all right. Cool. Well, are we good to go?
I guess.
you're like, oh, we're going to be out on time. We don't want to.
I'm discouraged now.
It's not because he hates you.
Whatever. I don't care.
We'll find out. He'll tell us in the after show if he hates you.
Absolutely.
If you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter. Of course, you want to check out my blog, biteoftech.com, and make sure you go check out our website, infectionpodcast.com. If you notice on the right-hand side there, you can join our server on Discord. That's where you can go suggest news. Maybe you'll be playing some Dead by Daylight. You can laugh at Nick while you play that. Or if you want to join us for Game of the Week when we play some Rust this Friday, you can all do that in Discord. If you want to get a notice before the live show starts, make sure you join our Steam group and you get a little pop-up on your screen right before the show starts. Also, we're available. We have some issues with Twitch today. Thank goodness we are able to watch the streams on Twitch, YouTube, and Mixer. If you want to listen after the fact in the audio-only form, you have a list on the lower right-hand side of the website for whatever platform you may want to be using. And then show notes for now 263 episodes of the show. So maybe there's something we referred to that you want to go check out. More than welcome to go do that on the website for the show notes of this particular episode. Also, we have on there ways you can support us, amazon.infectionpodcast.com, humble.infectionpodcast.com, and also, as you saw with Green Man, 24 months in a row through those Twitch Prime subs. So thank you very much. And actually, he doesn't have Twitch Prime. I think he actually pays us money, which is very nice. Real money.
Risque. Yes. I make $170,000 a year doing this podcast. It's incredible.
I know. Only $170,000. Yeah, I
mean, look at it. I've got a nice gaming chair that I bought for $99 at Staples. I mean, average.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us live. Thanks to everybody that contributed with news articles and links and stories and tweets and whatnot, even this week. So I'm not going to call them out, but I will say, so somebody tweeted us this week and said, hey, there's a new team working on an H1Z1 game. It's called Z1 Exceed. So instead of assuming, hey, the guys have already talked about it, he sent it to us. Fortunately, we've already covered it, but if you see something, a game, an update or whatever, do not assume that we have seen it. Please send us a link. Let us know, because there's too much crap that goes on in a week to see it. So thanks to everybody that's contributed with the show in content and whatnot. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. We'll see you Friday night for Rust. And then we'll be back here next Tuesday for another episode of the show.
Very good.
Alrighty, folks, that is going to do it. My name is Nick Craig. You can follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. You can check out my personal blog, dudeinit.com. If you missed any part of the show, any show notes, videos, links, images, and more, anything else on our website, it's infectionpodcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.